Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Carl. We are going to have our 90-minute program of going over nothing but the Bible. I call it a Bible study with Carl on Freedomizer Radio, but it's a Bible study with everybody. In addition to myself, Raven will be joining us, and everybody who listens to this program, it's your Bible study, our Bible study. I don't want to label anything. I had to give it a title, so I put my name on it. But this is being shared with everybody, and that's why we give you all the verses that we're talking about, because we want to be sure that you go to the scripture, and everything we're saying has nothing to do with anything that we've thought of, anything that we want to accentuate. Is all the word of God. Every word in this scripture, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 2 Peter 1:20 and 21, every word was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be doing this program. I'd be sitting watching the motor racing, or maybe minor league base, or not minor league, major league spring training on TV today, because I certainly can't go outside. It's normal Great Lakes winter day today. It's windy, cold, gray, dark, and blowing pretty well. But every word in this scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, which lends 100% credibility that we cannot, and this is why we read from the scripture. We make a concerted effort. In fact, when I first started, one of the rules that I laid down in my first program was that nothing will be said as biblical unless it comes from the Bible. And we read the scripture. We read it so we give you the context as best we can. I want nothing to be by anything other than the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you a phone number to call in if you want to comment. You want to make a comment on something that's being discussed or ask a question. It's always better for continuity's sake in the program if you would keep it to what our topic is, which has been and will be for quite a while, the cross of Christ. Because truthfully, every word in Scripture is about the cross of Christ for 4,000 years pointing towards it. And now for the last 2,020 years, 23 years, 4 years, whatever it is, whatever the accuracy of the original calendar was, looking back at it, everything, the central theme of all humanity is going to rest on one thing. What did every soul who was ever born on this earth trust in for their salvation? Was it strictly Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross plus nothing, minus nothing? Or did they add something to it, something good, like water baptism, like church attendance, like denomination, like disciplines, like studying the Bible more often, like going to church more often, like praying more often? Folks, do these things. Do these things 24 hours a day. But nothing saves your soul other than your total faith, belief, and trust that Jesus Christ, when he died on this cross 2,000 years ago, has 100% atoned for your sin. And please examine yourself. Please. Is your faith in that alone? And Paul even tells the Corinthian church, and why do I say the church? Because it's believers. Examine ourselves. Daily we've got to deny ourselves. Deny any of our ability. Number one. Doesn't mean deny yourself of sweets during Lent, although you can do that. I don't know what it accomplishes, but if it makes you feel good, go ahead and do it. deny any attempt of anything or we or any person or denomination or church or philosophy or theory can add to or take away something of the cross. Plus nothing, minus nothing. Your faith, your belief, and your trust in Jesus Christ and him crucified, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Well, I determined, Paul said, to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. Now, if you think of that, and you factor in the verses we said in the beginning, 2 Timothy 3:16, and 2 Peter 1:20-21, every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Every word. And 2,000 years ago, when this New Testament was written, when it referred to every word, it meant the Old Testament. Every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Why would we not put this words of God as the most important possession we have in this world? But folks, this is all you're going to take into eternity. If you do not believe in the gospel, and the gospel is written in the Bible, add nothing, subtract nothing, no denomination, receiving no sacraments, having no discipline, you are saved 100% by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, and it's strictly by grace. No one earns it. No one works for it. No one deserves it. No one merits it. No one can maintain it in their own ability. Everything comes through grace, means the unconditional, unearned love of God towards us. And examine yourself daily. Daily deny yourself, Luke 9:23, and take up the cross. When it says take up the cross, it doesn't necessarily mean suffering, although in many cases it can, especially in latter days, it will. When it means take up the cross, take up the benefits that Christ has given you. Rest from your own work. Rest from your ability. This is the topic we're on, and we're going to continue on. Now, if you have something that you want to bring up or ask that's not in the context of what we're talking about, then don't be hesitant to do that. It's just that if we could keep it to the context, but that's not a rule we follow hard-heartedly. Nothing in this scripture. As long as you're remaining in the Bible, I don't want to get into fantasy land and discuss about how many are things that the Bible doesn't specifically state, the time or the number or things of that nature. But if you've got a hard, fast, serious question about scripture, we will do our best to answer it. But we will only do it if we can give you Bible verses. Other than that, we will say it's our opinion. But remember, my opinion, our opinion, is not 100% guarantee it's the Word of God. We're very careful when it's an opinion. When we give you the Word of God, we're very careful. That is the answer. Whether you like it, don't like it, believe it, don't believe it, accept it, don't accept it, the Word of God stands regardless of what Carl or anyone else in this world thinks about it. Now, the number to call if you want to comment or ask a question is 319-27-6208. 319-527-6208. And that is toll-free from any landline or any cell phone in continental United States. Okay. I expect Raymond to call. She may not. But in case she doesn't, I want to start off with a word of prayer. God, the Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, with all the authority that Christ has, which in Matthew 28:18 says that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to him by you, God the Father. We ask you to give us, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives, the wisdom on how to explain the verses we're going to read, especially on this series we've been doing, and it'll probably last a good 6 months or more, the cross of Christ. And not only that, but also to everyone in this who's listening, who's on a different spiritual walk in some way, shape, or form than anyone else, give us the spiritual meaning that you want us to have individually, and only you can do that, Holy Spirit. John 14:15-16 tell us you are the teacher. You, the Holy Spirit, are the only teacher. And we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. We wrapped up talking about salvation and sanctification last week, that they were both accomplished at the cross. And we ended with the verses that tells us that the power of the shed blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and our faith in him, our determination to trust and have faith and belief and trust in nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Add nothing, subtract nothing. And why is that? Because Jesus Christ, per John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. I don't care what any other form of belief system says. There is not many ways to God. There's not a couple of ways to God. There's one way. It's through Jesus Christ. And to get to Jesus Christ, you got to go through the cross. To go through the cross of Christ, you got to go through the shed blood. You've got to die. The old man has to die by faith in Jesus Christ alone. And miraculously, the Holy Spirit will come in and dwell on you, and that's what being born again is. Has a lot more to do, folks, than repeating a prayer. More to be done for true salvation than ask Jesus into your heart or surrender your life to him. Read the Bible. Don't believe me. Read the verses I give you. 1 Timothy 2:5 talks about there's one mediator between God and man. A mediator is a person who brings peace between the two. For Romans chapter 5 and Ephesians 2, we're all born into sin. We're enemies of God. We're without God, alone in this world. Miserable, wretched, poor, blind, and naked. But Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice on the cross, if our faith, our belief, and our trust is it nothing but Jesus Christ and his sacrifice at the cross, you are miraculously saved, instantly forgiven, instantly washed from all your sins, and you now have a spiritual life that you never had. And this is where I'm going with it. The rest of your Christian life focuses on sanctification. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 10 through 14 last week, not only are we saved by our faith in the cross, but the same faith in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ himself made on the cross of his very life, and your faith in the power of that working in your life is the same thing that sanctifies you. By sanctification, we mean that you become more and more, per Romans 8:29, you become more and more Christ-like. That's what sanctification is. I know denominations have all kinds of fancy terminology and definitions, and that's fine. Let's just take what the Bible says. In fact, I'm going to read you Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Predestined. If we accept the sacrifice of Christ on the cross only as our foundation for heaven, we are now going to go through the process for the rest of your life of sanctification, which is a lot of bumps in the road, a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations. Much of it, if you read Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about in Hebrews chapter 12 how that we all go through these trials, we all go through the tribulation, and they're to purify us, to burn out, as it were, in the gold or the silver, the dross, the impurities. Even though we're born again, folks, there's not a soul in this audience who can possibly think that they even resemble being perfect. In the eyes of God, you're made perfect. And if you were to die right now, having truly been born again by the Holy Spirit in the biblical way, not the easy believism way that sells and makes a lot of cash come in, where you can join the club and you're saved without repenting, without turning from your sin. Well, easy believism, folks, look at the billions of dollars that are generated. I think of the couple of churches I'm familiar with, their weekly budgets and what they require. Up to $50,000 to $60,000 a week is what they budget themselves on. Oh, this doesn't come by preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, believe me. And I'll give you two people much more credible than I. David Wilkerson, and I believe in his YouTube video, Last Day's Deception. I believe that's the one. And John Corson, who is a current ordained minister in California, have both said, and I've heard them with my own ears, it wasn't something I read out of their own mouth, that if you preach Christ and him crucified and repent from your sin and continue to repent from it, it's a lifestyle. You want nothing to do with it. You want Christ. If you preach that and you preach the cross only, not your goodness, not your sincerity, but your faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, that the plan of God predestined from the beginning of time was that not only would our faith, trust, and belief in Jesus Christ and him crucified on the cross save our soul, but it's the only thing that will continue to sanctify us and purge us of the dross that we were born in, first of all, and inherited from Adam and Eve, and then the very sins that we have developed in our life that we have become addicted to. We've turned to trust in more than we have Jesus Christ. And I'm no different than anybody else, folks. No different than anybody else. God definitely blessed me with the ability to remember certain verses and things like that. But don't think that I don't have the same doubts, the same weaknesses, the same fears, the same lies that you can dabble a little bit here, dabble a little bit there. It's a victimless sin. Don't worry about it. No. I go through the same situations you do. That's why this whole idea of walking in the Spirit means your faith is in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Nothing to do with any of your discipline, any of your religious works, any of your good deeds, any of even your biblical mandates that you carry out through discipline. Those are results of your salvation. But once you are born again, the Holy Spirit, who is the one who convicted you and leads you to saving, to receiving the grace of God for salvation that appears to every man, The grace of God for salvation has appeared to every man, Titus 2:11. And the work of the Holy Spirit, once a person truly receives by faith the grace of God that leads to salvation, the next thing that the Holy Spirit does is a lifelong process till you die of sanctification, which is purging you, disciplining you, chastising you, allowing you to go into difficulty, to break your dependence from yourself to God, or from your church to God, or from any of your good works. Repent of our good works. And as Ephesians 10 and Titus 2:14 say, the good works that God has preordained us to do will be a result of our salvation. It won't be something that saves us or sanctifies us. It is the work of God in us, but it's only through our faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I say. Nothing, no one event or one thing in history will ever influence where you spend eternity as the cross of Christ, or the sacrifice that made our sinful life disappear in the mind of God the Father once and for all. Nothing will ever replace the cross of Christ. Truthfully, I should just as long as I stay to the Bible, no matter what book I'm in the Bible, staying to Scripture and the topic of the Holy Spirit, everything that I will ever talk about, never have talked about, is the cross of Christ. So the whole Bible is about Jesus Christ coming, casted the Lamb of God for 4,000 years. He came 2,000 years ago, and all the New Testament is pointing us back to the same thing that the Old Testament pointed us towards for 4,000 years, and that was the cross of Jesus Christ. So we're never going to finish the topic. But specifically, I'm going to give you verses relating to it and what they mean and how they're intertwined with the cross. So the whole idea of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 is that when we are born again, in fact, let me read to you Romans 6, 3, and this is very much review for some of you, but there may be people on here who haven't heard this. They haven't heard it, and I want to make sure they do hear it. Romans chapter 6 is the baptism that we must be baptized with. There's not a word in the Bible that says we must be baptized with water for salvation. Matthew chapter 3 is where John the Baptist introduced baptism by water, and it was meant for only one thing. It wasn't meant for salvation because Christ had not started his ministry yet. John the Baptist was baptizing by water, preparing people for the coming ministry of Jesus Christ, and baptism was your way of outwardly expressing that you repented of your sin. Read Matthew chapter 3. Let me make sure it's 3. Hold on a minute. And again, this is too important for me to just pop off the top of my head with. Matthew chapter 3. Specifically, read verses 3. Read verses 2, 3, 6, and 11. You can read verses 1 through 11, but specific, 2, 3, and 11. It was never biblically in the New Testament associated with or required for salvation, water baptism. What baptism is required for salvation is Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death by faith. Nothing to do with water. Why did they use water? They use water the same reason we receive communion. When you take communion, There is nothing remotely in Scripture that says that anybody has the power of transubstantiation. And I'm not trying to just be smart aleck here. The word transubstantiation is the word that is defined as being able, a human being, to change the bread and the wine into the body and blood of Jesus Christ. That is fantasy land. That's fantasy island. Remember, here come the plane. That's fantasy island. Never does the Bible allude to the anything to do with communion, that we're literally eating the literal body of Christ and drinking his literal blood in the church. That's fantasy island. What does it mean? It is symbolic. You could have taken a piece of candy and drank a glass of water. You're symbolizing that you're bringing the body of Christ by eating this, which is symbolic of the body of Christ. And when you eat it, it goes into every part of your system. Your stomach breaks down your digestive system. It goes into your bloodstream, and it spreads throughout your whole body. Symbolic. Go to communion. Do it every day. It's a great thing. People say, well, there's a denomination I've heard from the pulpit. We don't do it too often because we don't want it to be a ritual. How in the name of gold and silver, how in the name of heaven or earth or under the earth, can you make a ritual out of the sacrifice Jesus Christ made for us at the cross? What I'd rather them say is, in spite of the people who take communion because they think that they are actually being holier than anybody else, they have not sinned to reach the perfection some denominations require before communion, which is impossible in the real world. And the verses in 1 Corinthians 11 says, take it worthily. And they think that they're taking it worthily mean that they're better and they really feel it. I don't make a ritual of that. I agree. And those are the people who, not a ritual, but those people haven't got a biblical understanding. So rather than saying we make a ritual out of our remembering the cross of Christ, how in the heaven's name can that be done? It's in heaven. That's even almost blasphemy to suggest it. What I want to do is focus on what the body and blood represents. It's a power of Christ working in us 100%. Not saying we're 100% perfect, but you've got the full power of Matthew 28:18, where Jesus Christ says, all authority and power on heaven and earth are given to me. And then in 20, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you until the end of time. That very Jesus Christ and his power is what you are symbolizing with communion. Now back to baptism, baptism by water. Never meant to be anything in the scripture other than a symbol of not, it doesn't wash your sins away, obviously. It was a symbol of your repenting and God forgiving you of your sins in the spiritual life, and you're doing it in the physical life by pouring water over your skin, but there's no way that water cleanses you. How these ever came about in the New Testament church is beyond my comprehension. It doesn't make sense. It's not even biblical. It's what Christ said in Mark 7. You have a fine way of believing in the commandments of men, putting aside the commandments of God, and we do. Done all the time. But Romans 6:3. This is the baptism you must be baptized with in order to receive by grace salvation that has appeared to every man, the grace of salvation. Titus 2:11, the grace of God for salvation has appeared to every man. You received it. For Ephesians 2:8, you're saved by grace through faith, trust, and belief in the cross of Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. You receive this baptism into Jesus Christ's death. And baptized in his death means what? That we know that if our faith, trust, and belief is in him only, that when he died on that cross and he died to sin and he died to pay for all of our sin, we know per the Bible that if we believe that, God looks at us as we actually are now clean of all past sin. That is biblical. Let me give you a verse in Colossians, one of them that says it. And there's several that say it. I'm just going to pick them out as I can get them in my memory. Colossians 3, we are dead. You are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That is the result of being baptized into, by faith, being baptized into Christ's death. You are now. Your life is hidden with Christ. That means Christ has paid for all your sins. You are looked at as clean as Christ is because your faith is in Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. I want you to read these verses and see it. You use me only as a person who's given you Bible verses. Your real teacher is the one who inspired every word in this book. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. It's not anybody. You go to these verses. That's why I'm hesitant here as I do this, and I hesitate because I'm sort of killing time getting to the verse to make sure you get it and you're convinced by the Bible verse. Now, everything in Matthew chapter 6, 7, and 8 goes back to one thing, and that is our choices as we walk through life and run into difficult situations, situations that are unfair, situations of horrible temptation to sin, situations to quit. The enemy puts in our mind, this Christianity isn't what people told you it'd be. You're really not a believer anyhow. Look at what you just thought of today. Look at what you watched on YouTube this morning. Folks, it's not right that we do these things, but if you repent and put aside whatever it is you're doing that's wrong and ask for forgiveness, and you ask for the Holy Spirit to cleanse you, per Romans 8:13, and let me read Romans 8:13. And only the Holy Spirit can do it. No church, no priest, no rabbi, no pastor, no denomination, no action on your part, even a biblical thing. If you live after the flesh, which means religion, your discipline, your ability to walk after God, you will die. Romans 8:13. And that's what the flesh means. It doesn't mean, now obviously, if we spend the rest of our life living after the lust of the flesh, you're going to die spiritually. There's no question. But even this is saying that if you live after the flesh and trying to live for God, like Paul said in Romans 7, how he tried so hard to live for God in his own strength. And he did the things he didn't want to do and couldn't do the things he knew he had to do. The flesh does mean the lust of the human body, which is in every one of us, thanks to Adam and Eve's sin. But the flesh Paul is using here is our ability in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Our ability, religious ability, depending on ourselves rather than depending on God. The person who depends on the power of Christ, not only to save his soul, but to cleanse him from sin, to deliver him from old habits of sin, even addictions to sin. And he depends on nothing but Christ and his strength and his power that is given to us through our faith in what he alone did. Nothing that we did other than believe, trust, is the second part of Romans 8:13. If you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, that means there's no other way to mortify the deeds of the body other than through your Holy Spirit doing it, which means total dependence on Christ and him crucified. Just hold on a minute. Hello there.
Hey there, Kyle. Sorry, I'm a little late.
You're there. Okay. I'm just starting to get into Romans 6, 7, and 8.
All right.
And
sorry,
what I'm talking
there.
About in Romans 6, 7, and 8 is the moment we're truly saved,
yes,
the process starts of sanctification, which put aside all the denominational definitions. Take Romans 8:29. It is to be made Christ-like. Only a project God can do. Only the Holy Spirit can make us Christ-like. Not your church, your denomination, or your receiving sacraments. Your obedience to the commandments and the sacraments and partaking in them, if done properly, biblically, are a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you earn. I'm now trying to explain in Romans 6, 7, and 8, the sanctification process does not mean we're guaranteed, as many denominations want to preach in many churches, that you're like one of these little slot race cars. You can push the go button on full power and go through the turns at full throttle and nothing will happen. No, we're not a slot car. We're not guaranteed. We have a choice in Romans 6, 7, and 8. Are we going to walk in the Spirit, meaning Romans 8, 13, trusting that the Holy Spirit mortify the deeds of the body? Or are we going to walk as Christians and save people, believing what religion and most Christianity teaches today is that we've got to add something of our own, some good works that we do. Folks, that's walking in the flesh. And Paul in Romans 6, 7, and 8, if for the rest of your lifetime you've hung up on this program right now and never listen again, please read the choices. And you can't, even if you're an atheist, you can't deny that Paul is showing you, as they did in the Old Testament constantly, you have a choice. Only one who believes in God has a choice of whether they walk in the power of God or walk in the power of religion. An unbeliever has no other choice. When he wants to be good, he has no choice if the power of Christ is not in him. He only can walk by religion.
Yes.
And no religion offers salvation. Not a one. Not a one.
Right.
Even Islam and Roman Catholicism, which are two biggies in this world and have been all my life, neither one of them give you a guarantee of anything. Religion is like sin. It never gets enough. It always wants a bigger piece of you. Jesus Christ wants nothing out of you other than your faith, your belief, and your trust in him for not only salvation, but now the cleansing of your sin nature, which will never finish on this earth, but you will be rewarded for all eternity for what you allowed the Holy Spirit to cleanse you from while on this earth. And that's what walking in the flesh and walking in the Spirit is. And all three chapters of Romans, 6, 7, and 8, is that choice. In fact, I got to tell you, I've been toying with this, Raven, and I haven't closed the door on it yet. Would it be a good idea, not that we explain every verse as we normally do, but just for you and I to alternate and read all of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8, just for people to see that there is a choice. You're not locked in.
Something you said was even if you're not a believer, it is about religion. And, you know, it's true. Everyone on the face of the earth is following some sort of a religious belief, even if they don't realize it.
Oh, it's absolutely.
It's religion or it's a relationship with God. It is one or the other. You know what I'm going to, and you really hit me hard with this because you know what's happening with family right now with me. And it is religion. They may not want to see it, but it is religion. It is doing their own works, whether good or bad. It is doing what seems right in their own eyes.
And that is religion.
And atheism
is a religion.
Yes.
Not to the, it may deny a creator, but it is a religion.
Yeah.
We are living the best we can live in our own strength. And that says in Romans 8:13, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. That means spiritually. It means you go to hell for all eternity.
Yeah. I believe I brought this up once before on here. I'm not sure, though. But if you go to the official, if you will, Satanism website, and I didn't go on and like search it out deeply. I went there for a purpose because it's a long story, but it had to do with my granddaughter. Grandchildren, actually. But if you go there and just look at what they believe, what they will tell you is that they don't actually worship Satan as such. They don't worship a god, little g god. They don't worship Satan. They don't worship any person except for the person they worship is self. And that is what the downfall of Satan was, that he worshiped himself. He believed that he could be like God. He could be better than God. He wanted to rise up above God. And that is the religion of unbelief. That is the religion of unbelief. So you either have you either have belief, which is the relationship, or you have the religion of unbelief, which is all. And this is going to hurt some people out there, possibly.
Well, Raven,
possibly.
Raven,
My
motive here is not to hurt people. It's to enlighten people who are in Christian churches today that are preaching that they can add anything to the cross of Christ, including water baptism.
Right. And it is the religion of unbelief, and that is everyone who is not in a relationship with him. So it is either religion or relationship. There are only those two.
Perfect. Now let's verify what you just said. Turn to John 16:9 and tell me what the root of all sin is.
Of sin, because they do not believe in me.
So that is a sin, even if you are performing works that the average person would say are godly.
Yes.
If you're doing it your own strength, it's sin. Well, how can you say something like that, Carl? They're sincere. Read Romans 14:23. Let's give biblical reasons. I'm not just spewing these things off the top of my head to make people feel bad. You got to realize that these verses are applied to me also. I'm not just here to ruin people's day or rain on their false doctrine.
Right.
Because I've got my false doctrine rained on almost every day where the Holy Spirit is telling me, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. This is what God says. Yes. This is what I say. You either do it or get off the bandwagon.
Yes. But he who doubts, that hurts. He who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin.
That means if I'm in my church, I'm preaching and teaching, and I'm doing it for any other reason than as a result of my faith in Jesus Christ and him crucified, which is 1 Corinthians 2:2, it could be sin. Could be. Even though I'm doing a good thing, I'm doing it in my strength. You see, folks, that's religion. The one advantage I've had is I was 40 years old before I even realized that I may be in a false religion. The religion I was in, I was very, very, very strict, very attentive to every little rule and regulation. Not saying I kept them all perfectly, but I lived and died daily by did I do more good things than bad things. My sincerity was there. As a first, second, third grader, I remember waking up in New York City and walking 2 miles. How my parents would never allow that, I guess, in today's day. But then, back in the late 40s, nobody cared. And I would go to mass on before going to school, not first grade, probably third, fourth, fifth. But I don't know in my first, second grade that I even knew how to get there. But I existed on discipline, but it was all religion. It was my effort as opposed to depending on God. Would Raven synopsize that when she said, it is a relationship rather than a religion. A religion is your discipline, what you do. A relationship is depending on Jesus Christ, who is the only one who could do it, and everything good comes to you as through your faith in what he's done, nothing you do other than receive it, believe it, and follow him.
Yes.
All right. Why do we do this? We're not going to get this today. In fact, you know what? Maybe we should start this next week and go through Romans 6, 7, and 8. And we will get through. I think we can do three chapters in 90 minutes. Why don't we just continue here with the notes I've got? And I put down here that our effort, our discipline, our religiousness, our self-righteousness, our good works, not the ones God preordained for us to have in 2 Timothy 1:9, all of these is faith in something in addition to but to Jesus Christ alone. When you are guaranteed, when you believe, and many people in the building that I was in this morning do not believe that they can go to heaven without water baptism. That is not the pastor's. He says at least twice a month from the pulpit, water baptism does not save your soul. But I know there's people in that building, and he knows it, who believe that they've got to be water baptized. Water baptism is nothing immoral, fattening, or illegal. It's just religion rather than relationship. Does that make sense, folks? Religion means something I do. Relationship and faith in Christ means that I trust only in what Jesus Christ has done for me. All religion, all works of self-righteousness on my part is sin, because I'm having faith in something in addition to 100% faith in Christ and Him crucified, which is 1 Corinthians 2:2. Now let's go to Romans 8 and read 10 through 14. These are choices. Only a believer has a choice of whether he's going to walk in the spirit or in the flesh.
And if Christ is in you,
Romans 8, 10 through, yeah, go ahead.
And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren.
And that's a choice. That's a choice. When I come up to avoiding sin or to doing good works, a ministry, am I doing it through my own ability, or am I depending in my will? I want Christ alone to be working in me. That's a choice. An unbeliever doesn't have that choice. Go ahead.
Yes. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh.
Now, wait
for
a minute.
If you,
do you see where the flesh, wait, do you see where, Raven, the flesh is religion? It's not relationship. So don't be debtors to the flesh. If churches are telling you you've got to speak in tongues, you've got to do certain things, you've got to give money, anything other than faith in Christ 100%, you are being a debtor to the flesh. They're making you guilty. They're making you guilty because you don't work as much as others. You don't do this. The Holy Spirit does not give us guilt. He convicts us. Guilt comes from one person, Satan. I don't care if they are in a church. The Holy Spirit convicts. Satan makes you guilty. Go ahead.
All right. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
Do you see that only by the Spirit? I, in all my religiosity, can't put to death one lie that I've ever told. Only the Holy Spirit can do it. And the Holy Spirit will not work miraculous in my life to do anything.
Yeah.
If my faith is in my ability, he will only work miraculously to do things miraculously if Jesus Christ is the power. Romans 16:14 says, I have the Holy Spirit. It says, he will glorify me. Anything that Carl is doing with faith in his own ability in addition to the cross, not saying that he has no cross. The danger here, folks, is to mix the two. In Acts 15:1, people from the Jewish Pharisees came down from Jerusalem, and they told the believers that Barnabas and Paul and Peter had converted, that in addition to faith in Christ, you had to be circumcised. By the time he got to Acts 15:5, as religion always does, religion wants a bigger piece of you. They never have enough. They want to consume you. That ultimate consummation comes when you're cast into the lake of fire in Revelation 20:11-15. Religion wants more of you. People, denominations, they should want nothing of you. They should want you every day and during the church service. Get on your knees. Rather than making you feel guilty about what you're doing and you're not doing, and this is a mantra of a lot of churches. Now, I'm not saying all of them, folks. If I said all, I'd be stupider than I sound. I'm saying a lot of them today, listen to them. Money, how much do we don't even have to go through explanation of that. I'm not going to say another word. That's obvious to the most casual observer. Do they say it's necessary for salvation? I haven't heard that, but it's definitely necessary for God to bless you, sow your seed with us. And is a very, yeah. very, very, maybe one of the largest names in ministry today, who is a big, big-time minister to the people on TV, says, and I heard him say it. I heard him on the way to an auto race. I pulled out of a Shell station, and he actually said, if you don't expect 10 times your money back that you give me, don't insult me by sending me anything. And this is one of the biggest names in Christianity. Even atheists know him. Folks, that is the flesh. That is your effort. That's what Raven said. You either live by your effort, religion, or you live by relationship, which is faith alone. Now, you also said, Nir, if through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body, do we need to have a degree, a master's degree in phonetics, a PhD degree in hermeneutics to understand that? If through the Spirit you mortify, that means there's no other way to mortify the deeds of the body other than the Holy Spirit. And he will only yeah. work as our faith is totally in Christ. Why? John 16:14, 1:6, parentheses, 1:4. The Holy Spirit will glorify me. If Carl adds one molecule of something he's done to take credit for what the Holy Spirit does, the Holy Spirit will not work miraculously. I'm sorry. But this is very good. If the Spirit means there's no other way to do it, folks, are you trying to purify yourself of pornography addiction, of lust, of any other thing there is, anything? If you're not depending on Jesus Christ having defeated all that sin at the cross and depending on the Holy Spirit alone through your faith in Christ to end this problem, it is never going to end. Doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. There are many people who are going to heaven and have gone to heaven that have not gained victory over sin.
This is why, this is why I have a problem with groups such as, I'm going to say it straight out.
Go ahead. Raven, we're not being paid to do this, so no one can threaten us by ending our job. This is something we want. Go ahead.
I have a problem with churches which have these 12-step groups. I'm not going to say do or don't, but what I'm going to say is this. 12-step groups focus on what you – there's two problems I have with them. First of all, they focus on what you do.
Instead of what?
They focus on what you – instead of what the Holy Spirit does in you.
Amen.
Now,
that's the difference between religion and relationship.
Now, there's another really big problem with them that most Christians – what they want to do is they want to just kind of, you know, put it to the side. But it's not a big deal. It's okay. It's okay. And that
what
is
did you say?
That.
I didn't hear it.
I said
they want
to churches want to just kind of flip it to the side. They want to say it's okay. It's close though. It's not that big a deal. And that is that 12-step groups, instead of talking about Jesus Christ, they say, your higher power, whoever that may be.
David
That's
Wilkerson. David Wilkerson calls it seeker-friendly churches.
Mm-hmm.
The man who started this whole thing, supposedly from Grand Rapids, Michigan, actually, they dub it now seeker-sensitive churches. But go ahead.
But these 12-step groups, which started with AA way back in the beginning, Alcoholics Anonymous, okay? And if you have a friend who is an alcoholic or a drug addict or whatever, you know, don't send them to AA. Send them to God. Go talk to them about God. The problem is that we as Christians are afraid to go to these people and say, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only one that can forever, forever take away your sin. He is the only one that can cleanse you from it completely.
Amen.
AA, all these things, what they do is they give you a false sense of security, because they seriously, they tell you that, and I have seen this myself. I have seen this myself. They say to you. They say to you. In fact, I'm looking at it here to see it because it's so important. I'm trying to see. Oh nope, I thought I had it and I didn't. But what it says is.
Raven, if you've got something important, take your time. It's too important.
Okay.
I would rather take another minute of this radio program and give people scripture. I want them depending on scripture, not us.
Okay, so here it is. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol. Okay, so good. Powerless is good. We came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Okay, so a power talks about who this is, and it says, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Now, here's where it comes. We made a this is the third step, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. As we understood him. So what this does is it gives us the all those people in AA the ability to say, whatever God we choose, whatever God we want to pick out, if we want to choose Buddha, if we want to choose any God we want, it's whatever God we understand him to be. That is the problem. That is the problem. It's what number, and then we go through all these others. We're going to make amends to people. We're going to do these things. And then number 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. As we understood him. It's not
about... Let me interject
something. Yes.
Let me interject something. Somebody may say, well, yeah, this exists, but that's not in church, folks. If that's your thought, you don't know what you don't know. There is a retired man who retired last year, a well-known. In fact, he wrote books that were in every grocery store 20 years ago. Series of books about a topic. He retired last year with a net worth of $25 million, not pennies, dollars. I have his book still for people who say that was never said. He put it in print. We all pray to the same God. Allah and Jesus Christ are the same. It depends on how we were raised. Don't think what yes. Raven is saying is not in Christianity today. It is. That's why the United States is in the cesspool. I have relatives that are not believers. They're searching, and they say that this is absolutely horrendously fearful, the situation we're in morally. And I mean, even the people who don't profess to be followers of Christ or maybe even believe he existed but not believe in him, they realize. And per 2 Chronicles 7:14, this is the fault of Christ, of the church. The church is the problem. So what Raven is saying is not just Raven's got a hard inner soul for some churches. This is being done in the church today, folks. And I can mention the names of people, but that would, I don't want that. I want biblical integrity, and I don't need to mention names. It is happening. I just want to emphasize, Raven, what you're saying is not from some strange group of people who just flew in off Battleship Galactica. This is happening in churches today. So go ahead.
Right. Now, I want to say, if you think it's not in the churches, I'm not going to mention what church it is. Right, because I'm not going to say
it's not in the churches. Yeah. Hold on. If they say it's not in the churches, I'm emphatically going to say they don't know what they don't know. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to tell them what they don't know. Now, I'm not going to mention the name of the church because I'm not going But I am going to count. But I am going to tell you, just in my area alone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. I've counted 35 so far just in churches. Hold on. In the next 24 hours. In the next 24 hours. Now, before you say, oh, well, those must just be Lutheran or Catholic or Methodist churches, you know, more churches that are more, a little more Yes. Let me say, and I'm not going to say the name of it, but two of them are Baptist and three of them are non-denominational. So it is in churches that you would think are more conservative.
I had no idea, Raven, in our area there's that many.
Just in the next 24 hours, 35 meetings in the next 24. I didn't know there were that many either. I thought I might find maybe 35 in the next week or next month. In the next 24 hours, Carl, I myself am flabbergasted that there are that many in the next 24 hours. These are just the ones in churches.
What do you mean
the
next 24 hours?
These are just the ones in churches.
What is the next 24 hours?
In the next
24
hours.
I'm not following this.
Yeah.
I'm not following this.
Sure. Okay. And
well,
if you're not, then that means there
are
other people too.
Are you saying, bear with me a minute. Let me ask the question.
Yep.
Are you saying within a radius of where we live?
Within a radius of 30. Right. Within a radius of about a 30 to 45 minute drive from me. There are 35 meetings just in churches alone. I just counted the ones in churches. There are other ones as well. There are 35 meetings just in churches. I did not count the ones in other places, taking places in, like
okay.
One says.
Raven, hold on, because you and I have never talked about this. I want to make sure I understand you. So when you said in 24 hours, you're talking about these meetings are taking place today within the next 24 hours of the clock.
Yes, that's correct.
They're actually being conducted even as while we speak.
Yes, that is correct.
Oh, okay. Now I get what you're saying. I didn't know what you meant. Okay, go ahead.
Yes. From now until 7 p.m. tomorrow night, so it's a little more than 24 hours. But until 7... Yes.
And these are churches where you and I, where I would know where to go in my living area.
That's correct.
That
it
is
took
remarkable.
Me less than, yes, it took me less than
would you
30
me
seconds.
A favor? When we talk on Tuesday, just for my own edification, let me know where these places are.
Sure.
Just for my own knowledge. I've never heard this. I'm ignorant of it.
Yes, and this, like I said, this is just today and tomorrow. There are we go to Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I mean, all week long, there are.
I want to be offline where we're not criticizing anybody, but when you talk to me Tuesday, I want to know what is this stuff. This is ridiculous. This is much higher and deeper than I ever thought it was.
Yes, these are, and for instance, now, one of these is called Grace Group. So they're talking, now, is it possible that one of the, it doesn't say where this is or anything like a particular church or whatever, but what I'm saying is, now, is it possible that some of these emphasize Christ? It is possible, but to be called, and I'm not going to go all into how I know this, but I know, called an AA group, they must go through these 12 steps every single meeting.
Now you're making sense. The churches are preaching and teaching, are actually having people come in and preach the philosophy of AA as a way of, it took me all this time to understand it. I now understand
it. Yes.
I still did not know there were that many.
Okay, yes. This is what's happening. The churches are allowing AA to come in and preach a false gospel. That's what it comes down to.
You know what, Raven, you're going to get hit with? Because when I made these comments 15 years ago in a nursing home, some lady actually went to the administrators and say, I'm criticizing AA. And I told them, I said, I never criticized AA in my life. I said, but you don't use the 12-step program in place of faith in Jesus Christ. And I told the lady, you want to kick me out of here? Go ahead. I'm saying, and they didn't. But no, I understand now what you're talking about. I've got it.
That's right. Now, if you choose to go the way of AA, that is your choice. But I'm saying
the problem, what you're saying is we're directing them to a 12-step program, which man does, rather than faith in what Christ did at the cross.
That's right. And it specifically says, God, as you choose to let me get this right because I don't want to misquote it.
Make sure we're scripturally got integrity here.
Yep. I don't want to hold on.
Nope.
Let me get that back up because I don't want to misrepresent it.
The only rule we've got in this program is everything must come from scripture, not from our own head.
Well, and not just from scripture, but I want to make sure that I am not – okay, here we go. Three things. A power greater than ourselves, a power, not the only power, but a power greater than ourselves could restore us. And
in other words, John 14:6 is wrong. I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way to the Father other than through me.
Right, and made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. So it's any God that we want to make, any God we
whatever
want
I
to
think
have.
Whatever I think is the higher power. Whatever I think
That's
is
right.
the higher power.
That's right. I can choose Buddha. I can choose Allah. I can choose Allah, however they, to be honest, I'm not sure how they pronounce it, but Allah, I can choose whoever, whatever God I want. Then in step number, I think it's, let me make sure I have this one right. I don't want to, I think it's.
No.
11. Step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve, and meditation is key. What kind of meditation are we talking about here? To improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. So whatever God we choose the God that we want to choose. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out.
You're saying, okay, Raven, stop a minute. I'm trying to learn something. You're saying that churches are actually preaching this.
That's correct.
Is correct. Okay. All right. I understand.
Yeah.
Before I can agree, I'm not understanding. Okay.
I understand. I do know what you're saying. And so the problem is that if we are telling people, hey, go to this church or go to – if we are directing people to AA instead of giving them the gospel, or if we are sending them to anything other than Christ, I'm going to bring up another one. If we're sending them to a Masonic institution. If you love Masons, that's your issue. You have to go to God with that. But I'm just saying anything. Masons, AA, Knights of Columbus, if you're Catholic, anything. I don't care what it is.
If anything, including, hold on, Raven, anything including Christian churches that are telling you to put faith in anything other than Christ, it's all the same thing.
Exactly. Anything other than the grace of God, which brings us faith in Christ. Anything. So the problem is that what these do is they convince us. These convince us that we can depend upon our own self. It's picking us up by our own bootstraps in some way or another, or convincing us that any God is okay.
Well, that, Raven, that goes back when you first joined the program over almost an hour ago, and you made this statement. It's either religion or relationship. It can't be both. You can't mix them. You talk about water and oil. Water and oil mix perfectly compared to religion and faith. They're parallel lines.
Right.
They will go into eternity, never intersecting. Okay. I wasn't trying to play stupid there, but I honestly did not know what you meant here, but now I do.
Right.
And this is going on in churches. That's the bad part. Now, please, folks, please, a man that I think very highly of donates his time and has for since 1993 that I've known him, giving talks in AA to people who come to the meetings, and he is a believer. More enduring faith in hard times. I actually envy his faith in hard times. So we're not criticizing AA. We're saying churches are telling you that you can use the tenets of your effort, your belief, your higher power to reach heaven. It ain't going to work. That's what Raven is saying. We're not criticizing AA. In fact, Raven, the gentleman you and I talked about yesterday is the one who's going through this horrendous burning of his whole. And he is 100% believer. But
I have a very, very dear friend. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead. I have a very dear friend.
He is not professing that is the way to saving faith. Is AA or your higher power? He is one of the most adamant preachers in Christ and Him crucified. Period. So Raven is not criticizing AA. Please understand that we're criticizing the churches who are taking their philosophy and saying that this will save your soul. And there is a multi-millionaire who retired last year. Wrote many books that ran much of many Protestant denominations just sucked up on in the 1990s. His books were in every church, and I have read where he says Jesus and Allah are the same. It depends on your upbringing. No. And this man, I don't want to criticize a man. I'm criticizing the powers of darkness that have got us in churches preaching and teaching, and they're not preaching and teaching just to defeat alcohol. They're preaching and teaching, implying and explicitly stating that this is the way you reach Almighty God and go to heaven, and it is wrong. It will send your soul to hell if you buy into it. This is horrendous. 35 churches, and we don't live in New York City. We live in a little dinky, rinky, rust belt town.
Carl, I have a very, very dear friend. Yes, I have a very dear friend whom you know. You've met this friend of mine. At church, and she is
I know who
is
you mean.
A, Yes, and you have. She is a big believer in AA and NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous. She's a big believer in it. She has a son who maybe came to Christ through NA. I don't know. He is a huge proponent of AA and NA in these 12-step programs. And I have tried over and over again to tell her, this is not the way to Christ. If you believe that some people can come out of alcohol or narcotics through these programs, you go. But for the churches to be saying that this is the way to Christ, we should not be pushing these in our churches. It is a false gospel. I would much rather that these groups be doing one thing or the other. That you either have 12-step programs, if you will, that are 100% Christ, that say, look, it is you must come to Christ. In other words, not this God, whoever you want to make him be, but that it is Christ alone. You know, if you want to call it 12 steps, fine, but it's got to be Christ. You know, I mean, then there's really only one step, but you understand what I'm saying. But then you make it 12 steps, but keep God out of it. Talk about yourself. Do it your way, whatever you want to do. But then bring them to Christ, to merge the two. And you and I have talked about this recently, Carl. Merging the two, merging psychology with Christianity, just causes problems. Help them out of there. Out of their struggles, by all means. I am not against that. I think it's a great idea.
Raven, I'm glad you're saying this, because there are people who, through AA, millions who have literally defeated it, but they are not being preached that is the way to salvation. That's the distinction
that's
you're
right.
making.
In
the beginning, I didn't.
This is what I'm saying. They're giving them a false sense of hope by saying you can come to and this is why a lot of people in AA, you see them, they're struggling and they have to have their partner and they have to have this constant going back to their AA meetings their entire life. And all this kind of thing, because they're constantly struggling and working and working and working and working. But what
okay.
they need to
okay,
do
Raven,
is come to Christ.
Raven, we've only got a minute left.
Okay.
The point is, AA is very effective for getting off of alcohol. It has worked. It wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be my choice. My choice was let the Holy Spirit, but for people who are unsaved, it has worked. We can't deny it. The point of the matter
right.
is churches are now preaching that in their buildings,
yes.
not only for alcohol or narcotics abuse, but how to reach heaven, and that is where the problem is. And
let's
keep it at that. Okay. We
yes.
are done. Next week, folks, we will read Romans 6, 7, and 8, or at least get a start on it, because you've got to understand the Bible is a choice for believers. Now, I'm over time. If you want to call me after, Raven, go ahead. But I got to sign
All
up.
Right.
I'm in another program. Take care.
Gotcha. Uh-huh.
Bye.
Bye-bye.